From the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. We're going to begin reading at verse 7 of chapter 3 and then read through 11 of chapter 4. Hebrews 3, beginning at verse 7, what we hear now is God's Word. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation, and said, they always go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be any of you an evil in any of you an evil unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed entered that rest, as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day today, saying through David so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us, therefore, strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals to page 52 in the back section, page 52 in the back. This is Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 38. And today we'll look just at question 103. I will read the question and you may respond with the answer. From page 52 in the back of the Psalter, what is God's will for us in the fourth commandment? the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Well, this morning we continue our study of the law of God as we have been over the last several weeks together. Today, looking at the fourth commandment. And I hope, children, that as we look at the fourth commandment, already even as I read it, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, you notice something different about that command than the ones we've studied before. The first commandment was, you shall have no other gods. The second commandment, you shall have no graven images. The third commandment, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. And then we come to the fourth commandment. Remember. The fourth commandment already begins, we might say, on a positive note. Now we know, as we've seen, that all commandments have a prescriptive value and what is forbidden as well. But the fourth commandment begins with the call to remembrance. It begins with the positive. It begins with setting the tone for what the commandment is meant to get at. It is a blessing for us to remember the Sabbath day. I hope that you know something else, children, about the fourth commandment. It's a long commandment. Now, I have in the bulletin here just the first line of it. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But we read it earlier this morning. And it's a long commandment. There are two commandments in the law that are strikingly longer than all the rest. The second commandment and the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment is the longest commandment of all of them. And in fact, the fourth commandment itself is longer than the entire second table of the law. And we tend to place emphasis where there is a lot of words. When God wants to explain something very, very carefully, He gives us a lot of words to explain it to us. Not that it's more important than the others, but He highlights it is as important as the others. It's the longest commandment that there is. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And yet that which God takes time to highlight for us, we can so easily take casually. We can so easily say, the commandment about Sunday, that's a commandment for the Old Testament people, for the Old Testament times. Hasn't the Sabbath been fulfilled in Christ? Isn't He our rest that we have now? Well, there's a certain truth to that. But all the commands have been fulfilled in Christ. And yet we don't say, well, it's okay for us to kill now. It's okay for us to steal now. It's okay for us to lie now. No, we are to continue to remember the glories of the Sabbath day. It was a blessing for the Old Testament people. It is a blessing for the New Testament people. It is a blessing for us today. And the book of Hebrews highlights that. It gives us something of a historical sketch of this Sabbath rest for the people of God. A Sabbath rest for Old Testament Israel, a Sabbath rest found in Christ, and a Sabbath rest that continues for us and anticipates a final rest that is coming. This morning we look at the promise and the blessing of a Sabbath rest. We see that just like all the other commandments, our understanding of this commandment is rooted in God and in who He is and what He has done. Chapter 4, verse 4. For He has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works. Like all the commands, this commandment reflects the character of God. God has placed a certain pattern already in creation. God worked for 6 days in creating all the things that we see around us, but on the seventh day He rested. God set a pattern. God set a way of thinking about time. When I was going to school, this is, you know, when we were in grade school, we were just trying to learn about the metric system, about meters and kilometers, and it's all based on tens. And we learned about temperature, that the boiling point was 100 degrees and freezing point was 0 degrees, and all marked by tens in between. And there's been things to try to change the way we look at measurement. But I've never heard of the metric system Maybe I'm just not in these loops or in these circles. I've never heard the metric system being applied to time. That there should be 10 months in the year, 10 weeks in a month, 10 days in a week, 10 hours in a day, 10 minutes in an hour, like the metric system does. God has set time in place. We don't have 10 days in a week because God didn't put 10 days in a week. He put 6 days in a week and a day of rest. Time reflects something of God's own work Himself in creation. He put the model in place. And God Himself rested on that seventh day. God showed us what that seventh day is for in His own rest. Now, when we look at God's rest, we see that God's rest was not a change. Excuse me, God's rest was a change of His activity. It was not a rest of inactivity. God's rest was a change of His activity, not a rest of inactivity. God rested the sixth day from all the creative work He had been doing. But He continues then in His providential caring work even today. That's why Jesus can say in John 5, "My Father works even unto today." Because God continues to care for His creation, to uphold His creation. And yet He rested. It was a change of activity from creative power to providential power, not inactivity. As if God sat back then and said, "Well, I've created the world, let's just see what happens now." And He sits back and watches it run. A change of activity, not inactivity. That should be reflected in our understanding of a Sabbath rest. That our rest on the Lord's Day should not simply be a rest of inactivity. I think maybe in my own history, in our past, we've thought that Sunday, if I take a good long nap, I've somehow rested on the Lord's Day. I've somehow kept the Lord's Day holy. But God didn't nap in His rest. God changed His activity from one to another. And God gives us the Lord's Day, He gives us the Sabbath day, to change our activities. We're so busy, we're so focused during the week that we don't have time for those other things we wish we could do. Visiting others in the congregation who may be shut in, writing letters to the missionaries, whatever it might be. Other activities that we wish we had time for, but the week we're so terribly busy. But God gives us a rest on the Sabbath. A change of activity. We set aside our regular daily activities to take up other activities. Not simply inactivity, doing nothing, but doing those other things to love God above all with heart and soul and mind and strength, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to focus on keeping the summary of the law in our relationship with God and our relationship with others. Modeled already in creation, God's rest. He set the pattern in place, but it was not a rest of inactivity. It was a change of His activities. And that model then was a picture for Old Testament Israel. It was a promise for them that they would enter into a Sabbath rest. A rest that they would experience when they came into the land of Canaan, the land God had promised. He said, "There's a land waiting for you, a land flowing with milk and honey, where you will rest." We studied Joshua, I guess it's been about 2 years ago now, three times in the second half of the book of Joshua. It talks about the land resting and the people having rest in the land. That was the promise for Israel. If they would persevere, they would rest in the land of Canaan. But Hebrews picks up, they did not all rest. They lost that rest through disobedience. Verse 7, "Today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. What's He talking about? He's talking about them testing and trying God. God brought them out of Egypt and they said, "But can God really care for us? Can He send us water in the desert? Can He send us food in the desert?" And they tested and tried God. Until finally there were those spies sent out to look at the land. They came back and they said, we can't take it. The people said, you're right, we can't take it. And God punished them for that. And because of their unbelief in the promise of God, they would wander for 40 years where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation. I said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. It was laid out before them. All they had to do was to believe the promise of God that He would do what He said. But they tested God. They tried God again and again and again. And they disbelieved the promise. And they did not enter that glorious rest. Oh, some entered. The next generation, the children, God was merciful. God was gracious. And He brought them into that promised land. He brought them into that land flowing with milk and honey, that place of rest for them. That's what Joshua is about, how they come into the land and they're able to settle the land. But our text says, verse 8 of chapter 4, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. That rest in Canaan was only temporary rest. It was only an external rest. It was only something that was a picture of more rest to come. It was not the final rest for God's people. There would be more rest, more coming. And we see that more in the coming of Jesus Christ. He comes, and as the author says, for we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Christ comes and He gives rest to His people, a true rest, a real rest, not simply a picture of rest, an external rest, a temporary rest. But for all who embrace Him, for all who recognize Him as Lord and Savior, a true rest. That's where our confession picks up. What's the fourth commandment mean? That the gospel ministry and education for it be maintained. That especially on the festive day of rest, I attend the worship of God's people. I learn what the Word teaches. I participate in the sacraments. I pray to God publicly. I bring Christian offerings for the poor. We have this day of rest given to us. We're not going to talk all about why it used to be the seventh day and now it's the first day. But it has to do with Christ and His change of time. Christ came and He rose on the first day of the week. He poured out the Holy Spirit on the first day of the week. We celebrate the first day of the week as an entrance into that rest. It's a pattern for us. It's a pattern that as we rest in Christ, we gather on this festive day of rest to attend the assembly of the people of God. That's why we're here this morning. Because we're resting in Christ, resting in what He did. And as we celebrate that, we gather as God's people. You know, sometimes people say, you know, it's not really important for me to make sure my kids get to church twice on Sunday. It's okay for me, but, you know, it's just easier to leave them home at night, especially when they're little. It's easier to leave them home because they're not getting anything out of it anyway. Our children are always learning. They're learning, perhaps not the words of the sermon, but they're learning a pattern, a practice, a way of life. That we regularly attend the assembly of God's people whenever the elders call us. And they call us on Sunday morning and they call us on Sunday evening. And what our children are learning, if not from the ministry of the Word, they're learning a pattern. They're learning regularity. They're learning this is how we submit to the authority of the church. When the elders call, we assemble. And they will learn what a blessing that is as they grow up. If our children see us on Sunday afternoon and mom has to wake dad up from the lazy boy and say, hey, it's time, we got to go to church again, and dad grumbles as he puts his uncomfortable shoes on and ties his tie, our children learn something about worship. How important it is to us. Is it a festive time of celebration for us? Parents, what are we teaching our children about the rest they can enjoy on Sunday? about resting in God's presence, about gathering with the assembly. We teach them by our attitude about coming together for this assembly with God's people. We gather so we can learn what the Word of God teaches. Be instructed in God's Word. Be instructed about Jesus Christ, what He has done for us. We celebrate His work, the redemption He has wrought for us, and His call to faithful living from that. We learn about God. We learn about His requirements for us. We gather to participate in the sacraments. The sacraments are that which strengthens us. Well, rest is that which strengthens us. We rest so we can be strong. So we come together and we celebrate the sacraments together to be strengthened in our faith, prepared to go forward out of God's house into the week to come. We participate in the sacraments to be strengthened. The Sabbath gives us that rest. We pray to God publicly. We bring Christian offerings for the poor. We make a habit of regularly gathering together for a time of worship, a time of sacrament, a time of prayer, a time of offering, a time of celebrating the work of Christ. Because on the Sabbath day, on the Christian Sabbath, we see the true rest that we have in Jesus, a rest from our sins. And that's why the confession finishes that way. Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways. Let the Lord work in me through His Spirit, and so begin already in this life the eternal Sabbath. We celebrate rest on the first day of the week to bring us into the week as a reminder that we can rest. We can rest from our sins. We must no longer pursue them, but we must rest from our evil ways and rest in the assurance of salvation we have in Jesus Christ. It's so easy for us to reflect upon our sins and say, how could God save me? How could He actually look favorably upon me? We remind ourselves on Sunday, it is not our works. It is Christ's work that we celebrate. We don't come together today to say how great we are. We come to celebrate Christ's work, a work of redemption, in spite of our sins, in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of our failings. Jesus Christ gives us rest. Rest from the guilt of sin. Rest from the blame we put upon ourselves because of sin. We rest in His finished work. He has worked so we can rest. He has worked so we don't have to. We rest even from those works that we try to do to make God pleased with us. If you're trying to gain God's favor, if you're trying to gain salvation by what you do, we remind ourselves on the Lord's Day, on the Christian Sabbath, it is what Christ has done, not what we do. Verse 10, whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from His works as God did from His. We can rest from trying to attain God's favor by the things that we do. We can rest in the finished work, the work of Jesus Christ. If you are here this morning and you're still trying to gain God's favor, you're still trying to earn salvation. If only I do enough. If only my works are sufficient. Today is the day of rest. Today you can stop trying to earn God's favor. Simply embrace, trust, believe in Jesus Christ, and know the rest that God promises. A rest from our works, a rest from our ways, a rest in Him. And knowing that rest, God works in us, our confession says, let the Lord work in me through His Spirit, that I begin this rest now. And I anticipate one more final rest to come. I anticipate the eternal Sabbath, the final consummation of all things. Just like Israel's rest in Canaan was a picture, so our rest today is still a picture. There is yet a day called today, where we have more coming. There is yet a day, a Sabbath rest remaining for the people of God. And we anticipate that now. We anticipate that final glorious day when we will spend eternity with God. Not a rest of inactivity, but an active rest with Him, praising Him, adoring Him, worshiping Him forever. Not an external temporary rest, but an ongoing rest. where we truly can rest from our sinful ways, where we truly can finally rest completely in Christ. And that final rest remains forever for the people of God. We have a foretaste of it now in the Christian Sabbath. We have a foretaste of it now in the rest that we have. We have a foretaste of it now as we gather for worship together. But we have the reality to come. What a blessing, what a hope, what an anticipation for the people of God. That even as we enjoy our Sabbath rest in this life, there is more rest to come when God is finally all in all in the final consummation. There is a Sabbath rest for God's people. A rest rooted in God Himself. A rest pictured in the Old Testament. A rest that was lost by unbelief. But a rest that was accomplished for all who believe in Jesus Christ. He worked so we can rest. And a rest that we still look forward to, that final eternal rest. May God help us today, to enter into His rest. He says, He appoints a certain day today. Today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts. Rest from your sin. Rest from your weary ways. Rest from the curse and blame and guilt that sin puts upon you. Rest in Christ and enjoy that Sabbath blessing. Enjoy the blessing of His people and anticipate even greater blessing to come. May God, by His Spirit today, help us enter that rest. Let us join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank You for Your Word, a Word that instructs us about the past, and a Word that teaches us about the present and helps us to anticipate the future. We pray, O God, that today we might rest in You. We might rest from our sin. We might rest from our labors. We might rest in the joy of knowing we have been saved by Jesus Christ. Maybe by faith embrace that truth, and may it then shape our rest today. Not simply a day of inactivity for us, but help us to set aside our daily labors to focus on other matters that You would have us do. Thank You for giving us Your pattern in time. 6 days to work and a day set aside for rest and for worship. We ask You would help us throughout this Lord's Day to keep Your day holy and bring us back once again tonight. That once again we can have a foretaste of that glorious worship with You forever in heaven. Hear our prayer, O God, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.